Welcome to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI, your home for the politically homeless, streaming live at KVI.com and the KVI app. If you want to be part of the most dangerous show on the airwaves, call or text the Warrior Injury Law Studio line at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Coming up this hour, Seattle Socialist Mayor Katie Wilson will clean up the city for the Seahawks, but let everybody else live in squalor. But before we get to any of that, time for your daily dose of adrenaline.
You want me to stick this into my heart? Are you f***ing nuts?
There's something haunting that I saw today out of Minneapolis. It's an image of a federal vehicle from federal agents, completely vandalized, completely torn apart. And the Post was talking about how the rioters stole guns out of the vehicle. We are literally watching history repeat itself. This is what we saw in Seattle in 2020 during the summer of love. Now we're having the winter of love. Before the autonomous zone, before defunding the police, does everybody remember what happened? George Floyd dead. Then they decide to riot in Seattle. And before they established an autonomous zone, and before they were rioting up on Capitol Hill, because for those of you who don't live in Seattle, downtown, Capitol Hill, not the same neighborhood, they're apart from each other. They rioted in downtown. They rioted where all the stores are. They rioted where the malls are. And at one point, activists were lighting police cars on fire and stealing AR-15s out of the back of these cars. One of the images that sticks in my mind is actually the one that I'm using working on a project I'm doing called The Summer of Love, something I'm writing up about everything that happened that year. And the image is a police car. And it looked like the mob was trying to burn American flags as well. I don't think this was staged. I think it just ended up this way. And the Associated Press got a great picture. It's a terrible picture, but it's a great picture of a burned out Seattle police car, the rioters dancing around it, and an American flag upside down on the hood. You probably have all seen this picture if you live in our area, possibly if you live in other parts of the country. As soon as I saw the image of that vandalized ICE vehicle, I said, here we go again. Until now, I don't think I realized how bad it was in Minneapolis, what was happening in Minneapolis, and I think a lot of people in the country forget how bad it was in 2020 in Minneapolis. Because what happened was there was so much other craziness that happened after George Floyd in the rest of the country that it actually saved Tim Walz's reputation and it saved Jacob Frey's reputation. Why? Rioters in Minnesota burned the Minneapolis police station to the ground. Burned it to the ground. They also set up their own autonomous zone, George Floyd Square, which is still there to this day. Businesses are gone. Gas stations are abandoned. The place is run down and destroyed. Tons of crime around it. Regular shootings around it. But the attention of the nation kind of went elsewhere. And a lot of that is thanks to Seattle. Seattle being in the news all the time. Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin going on CNN with Chris Cuomo, calling it the Summer of Love, calling it a block party, a street fair. Yeah, well, six people were shot, two people were killed. Rapes, robberies, murders, you name it. All that was happening inside the autonomous zone. And we're watching what led up to that happen again in Minneapolis. Over the past couple weeks, especially since the death of Renee Good, who tried to run down an ICE agent with her car, whether it was ICE, and I mean the stuff on the ground, and she skidded, or whatever the case may be, she didn't follow ICE's direction. She was interfering with federal agents for minutes leading up to what happened. And when a federal agent tells you to stop, you don't try to hit him with your car or run away. You stop. And something else I'm seeing is everybody making this worse. It's like elected officials are following the exact same pattern they did in 2020. You had Jenny Durkin egging this on. People have the right to peacefully protest. Fiery, but mostly peaceful from CNN when they're burning down police stations, when there's fire in the background. Fiery, but mostly peaceful. And once again, we have elected officials making all this worse. For example, you remember that you had Kamala Harris, who is advocating for bail funds to bail out the rioters. I'm seeing all this happen again. It's the exact same thing. Let's start with what I saw here in Seattle earlier today. A listener of the show sent this here. Columbia City, Seattle. That's in South Seattle. It has the craziest Facebook group in Seattle. If you are not in the Columbia City Facebook group, it's so bad I left. I didn't even find it entertaining anymore. I just left. They are so crazy. But people occasionally send me stuff they see in there. This post. 19 ICE trucks identified at the Safeway on Rainier Avenue. And somebody named Kiko Westhoff posts, unverified, but thought I should pass this along in case it's true. Well, it's not true, because the listener told me there were a ton of police vehicles because there was a community meeting with law enforcement nearby. But here they are. They're so desperate to be like, ICE, it's ICE. Let's go get it's ICE. We have to go get them. They're in a parking lot. Nobody from ICE was even there. It was local law enforcement meeting with the community about safety concerns. This Rainier Avenue Safeway, by the way, as I was driving out of its parking lot last night, and kudos to the people who are the managers of that Safeway. It is infinitely better than the last time I was there when I said, I don't know if I'm going to be going back there anymore. It was actually close to a pleasure to go there. I know some of them listen to the show, so kudos to you guys. You did a good job. The surrounding area, however, I drove past a bus where first responders were there dealing with somebody on the bus, and it looked like one of our unsheltered neighbors having some kind of drug attack. This is the area outside it. They've done a great job of actually cleaning up that shopping center where the Safeway is. But now they're having a law enforcement meeting at a Safeway, and people are trying to dox the ICE agents. People are going to go try and find the ICE agent. Seattle City Council member Maritza Rivera. Mike, when I reached out to City Council President Joy Hollingsworth, I said, oh, she's the president. I'd love to have her on the show. What was it, like 24 hours till I had that set up? Something like that? It was with the quickness, as Mike would say. With the quickness. All right? Seattle City Council member Maritza Rivera earlier this week posted, I want to address the recent horrible actions by ICE, by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, both around our country and our city. I'm disgusted by the killing of Renee Good in Minneapolis, the shootings in Portland, and the arrests in Seattle. This is not the United States we deserve, to have groups of masked, armed zealots snatching people off the street without due process is deeply wrong and shameful. I believe the actions of ICE are unconstitutional and illegal. As cities, we are grappling with the options available to us to prevent those actions and keep all our residents safe. Did she just defend the Trendel Ragua gang members? Because it sounds like she did when she mentioned the Portland thing. By the way, I reached out to ICE about the arrests in the cemetery. Remember, that was all the news last week? Katie Wilson, everybody locally. Oh, ICE arrested a bunch of people in a cemetery. Guys, I can't. ICE has no record of it. ICE has no record of it. Was this another case of some other law enforcement agency doing what they were doing and everybody freaks out assuming it's ICE? I sent ICE more requests for. And by the way, ICE always gets back to me. Sometimes takes longer than usual. They got back to me. They said, we have no idea what they're talking about. We didn't arrest anybody in a cemetery. What are they talking about? Did they make the whole thing up, or was it other law enforcement doing what law enforcement does? But here, Maritza Rivera seems to be going to bat for Trendel Ragua gang members and a woman who tried to hit an ICE agent with a car and actually did hit him with a car, so much so the Department of Homeland Security said he had internal bleeding, and that's why he went to the hospital. Because when you get hit by a car, kind of hurts just a little bit. I reached out to her office to see if we can get an interview. It's been 4 days. First, the people who handle communications for the Seattle City Council, they said, sure, we'll pass it on to her team. We'll get back from you. That's exactly what happened with Joy Hollingsworth. Same thing that happened with Mark Solomon when he was on the Seattle City Council. And guess what? 24 hours later, we had an interview. Silence. Radio silence. No response. What's she afraid of? She emailed this out to her entire mailing list, which I happen to be on. You can't defend a position you took, you coward. So you won't come on the show? Hey, lady, you weren't on my radar beforehand, but you better believe you are now. I don't like when Seattle City Council members who are supposed to be responsive to the people they represent decide they're not going to be responsive to their constituents. And I say this as somebody who lives in Seattle proper, not even a radio host. But what I see happening in Minnesota and the way the Democrats are doing the exact same thing they did in 2020, somebody else is going to get killed. We've already had one person. Make no mistake about it. Renee Gold was activated, motivated, mobilized by the far left. And they were given a license to do what they are doing by politicians encouraging them to do it, like Tim Walz, who says he wants people to go to war with the federal government, who says he's going to bring out the National Guard to go to war with ICE. People believe they have the carte blanche to do whatever they want when you do things like that. Yesterday, towards the end of the show, we were getting these reports of an ICE agent-involved shooting in Minneapolis. And of course, the media is going crazy, and they start reporting before they have all the facts. Well, now we have the facts. And would you like to know how this whole series of events kicked off in Minnesota? Because those of you who live in Western Washington, a lot of this is going to sound really, really familiar to you. According to Fox News, a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent is in the hospital after being ambushed during an attempt to arrest a Venezuelan national in Minneapolis on Wednesday evening. According to the Department of Homeland Security, the agent was ambushed by two people while attempting to conduct a traffic stop on an illegal immigrant from Venezuela, adding that the agent fired his gun during the alleged attack because he was fearing for his life and his safety. One Venezuelan suspect was shot, but is reported to be stable and is now in custody. The incident began around 6:50 p.m. local time when federal law enforcement attempted to make a traffic stop. According to DHS, who added that the suspect was released into the country under the Biden administration in 2022. The suspect attempted to evade arrest by driving off but crashed into a parked car. He then fled on foot. According to DHS, when the officer caught up with the suspect and attempted to take him into custody, the suspect resisted and violently assaulted the officer. DHS said two additional individuals came out of a nearby apartment while the officer and suspect were engaged in a struggle on the ground and attacked the officer with a snow shovel and a broom handle. What do we have? The old man from Home Alone coming after people now? Is that what this is? Yeah, just whack him with, go after the wet bandits. That's what you do. You hit him with the snow shovel. Why do people think they can hit an ICE agent with a snow shovel? Why do they think they can hit a federal agent with a broomstick handle? The original suspect broke free during the altercation because now the ICE agent has to deal with the snow shovel and the broomstick and also began striking the officer with a shovel or a broom handle. The officer fired defensive shots to defend his life, and the suspect was hit in the leg. All three suspects then barricaded themselves inside the apartment before being taken into custody. DHS said in a statement, "This attack on another brave member of law enforcement took place while Minnesota's top leaders, Governor Walz, Mayor Fry, are actively encouraging and organized resistance to ICE and federal law enforcement officers." Well, now Tim Walz has a problem, and so does Jacob Fry. They've been on a tear going after the federal government and Donald Trump, and now they're trying to backtrack. No, 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 I said peacefully protest, because you know what this reminds me of? Remember when people said Donald Trump started a violent insurrection after he said peacefully and patriotically? Well, Jacob Fry used the F-bomb to talk about ICE, and Tim Walz said, let's go to war with ICE. Now they want to say it's peaceful? Too late. Especially when you've told lies like this. Now, Tim Walz did a live stream last night where he's trying to look all tough. Aside from being a verbal disaster, it was a technological disaster. Look, I know my tech savviness isn't that great when I do live streams elsewhere from here, but Tim Walz was a disaster. It was so bad they actually deleted the thing. I wonder if they're fixing it right now, but that's what the internet is for. Because he made a few wild claims like this one.
Federal government is raining down upon our communities. 2,000 to 3,000 armed agents of the federal government have been deployed to Minnesota. Armed, masked, undertrained ICE agents are going door to door, ordering people to point out where their neighbors of color live.
Really? Do you have evidence of this? If you have evidence of it, come forward. Tim Walz actually asked everybody to get him the evidence because he doesn't have it.
Tonight, I want to share another way you can help. Witness. Help us establish a record of exactly what's happening in our communities. You have an absolute right to peacefully film ICE agents as they conduct these activities. So carry your phone with you at all times. And if you see these ICE agents in your neighborhood, take out that phone and hit record. Help us create a database of the atrocities against Minnesotans, not just to establish a record for posterity, but to bank evidence for future prosecution.
Right there, atrocities. You know, what the Nazis did was atrocities. What Iran is doing to the protesters, that's atrocities. What ICE is doing is enforcing the law. Hey, Tim Walz, weren't you in Congress for a while? If you guys feel so strongly about this, why hasn't Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman from Minnesota, tried to change immigration law? Why not have a conversation about immigration law? You don't like what's going on? Go to Congress and say, I want to change the law. Until then, this is the law. They are enforcing it. And if not for your dumb sanctuary state, sanctuary county, sanctuary city policies, we wouldn't even know this was happening. Because what would happen was the police would say, hey, we have a guy in custody and he's not a legit U.S. citizen. Hey, ICE, can you come deal with this? Sure, no problem. When can we pick him up? 4 o'clock work for you? Great. We'll see you at 4 o'clock. Instead, they release them out onto the streets thinking they're protecting people, and now you have this craziness going on inside neighborhoods because now ICE has to go get them. Jacob Fry. Jacob Fry, riling everybody up as well.
There's still a lot that we don't know at this time, but what I can tell you for certain is that this is not sustainable. This is an impossible situation that our city is presently being put in. And at the same time, we are trying to find a way forward to keep people safe, to protect our neighbors, to maintain order. And we're in a position right now where we have residents that are asking the very limited number of police officers that we have to fight ICE agents on the street, to stand by their neighbors. We cannot be at a place right now in America where we have two governmental entities that are literally fighting one another.
He just wants them to fight ICE agents and government entities. Does that mean they're sending the National Guard after ICE? Does that mean they're sending the cops after ICE? You guys created this mess. You guys made this mess. If there was a video of their police attacking ICE or ICE attacking their police, it would be all over the internet right now. You guys are creating the conditions of violence and making it worse and worse. It's not just the people in Minnesota. Here's their Attorney General, Keith Ellison. Keith Ellison, who's doing the same thing.
Now, let me tell you, this escalation, this surge, which is resulting in not only people being beat up, not only people being thrown to the ground, not only people not going to school, not only people not going to work, but it's resulted in the death of one of our neighbors, Renee Good.
Oh, stop it. She tried to hit an ICE agent with her car. She was interfering with federal operations, which is a federal crime. You've got the head of the DNC parroting these talking points. You've got Democrats across the country, as far away as Seattle here, parroting these talking points. They want this kettle pot to explode. That's what they want. They want this whole thing to blow up. They want the chaos. But then when people start calling them out for it, no, I called for them to protest peacefully. Meanwhile, you have Tim Walz, who literally said he wanted to go to war with ICE. Maritza Rivera, what does a Seattle City Council member have to do with any of this? Nothing whatsoever. Nothing. But everybody wants to virtue signal about it, just like in 2020. And just like in 2020, the more you guys keep this up, the more people will die. And here's something else that no Democrat has ever been able to answer for. Where do you draw the line? Who do you want deported? Who do you not want deported? Because the answer is Democrats don't want to deport the murderers, the rapists, because they don't want to deport anybody. If they want to have a nuanced conversation about immigration, they could have done that. They could have taken it to Congress. They could have said we're changing the laws, but they don't want to do any of that. They want the chaos because it keeps their name in the headlines. They want the chaos because it's something to run on. If a problem is fixed, you can't run on it anymore. And yet, I keep hearing them say the name Renee Gold, and they never mention the Minnesotans who were killed by illegal aliens or any other American who was killed by illegal aliens like Lake and Riley. You never hear them mention that at all. Ask them, where do you draw the line on deportation? And you're not going to get an answer because they don't want to deport anybody. They want the chaos. We go to the Warrior Injury Law Studio Line, take a call from Ben in SeaTac. Ben, what's going on, man?
Sorry. Well, the left is doing this, you know, one big reason is they got to get the fraud story off the headlines. It took down Tim Walz, and it's going to go nationwide. They want the Insurrection Act to be used. They want anything to get that fraud off the headlines because it took down Tim Walz. California is going to be next. I've spotted stuff here. I mean, there's a house, home care, daycare. You tell me this is possible. It's in Linwood. Don't want to say the name. 1,200 square foot home daycare, got paid $260,000 in 5 months. Back to back months, $80,000 payments. Do you think that's possible for a daycare?
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to give you this, Ben. Do me a favor. ARIKVI.com. Sure. That's ARIKVI.com. So many of our listeners and so many people who follow me on social media have been sending me so much of this stuff. Send me everything you got. I'll check it out for you because we've been finding a lot of these places which are really, really fishy. And I think you are 100% correct. They are doing all this to distract from the fraud. and because it's convenient to get them a higher national profile. ARIKVI.com. That's ARIKVI.com, because I think you're on to something. Appreciate the call. Appreciate you being part of the show. You want to be part of the show, give us a call or text at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. When we come back, my friends, Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson proves she's a complete hypocrite, cleaning the streets out for the Seahawks, but not for you who have to live here the rest of the year. Give you all details when we come back. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. We should literally add a new segment to the show. Ari and Mike predict the future. And then we should have a follow-up segment, Ari and Mike predicted the future. I saw this story last night. Mike sent it to me from a different outlet today. And what's funny to me is not only did we predict the circumstance, the people involved, we predicted the exact location of where it would happen. Let me back up for a second. The Seahawks have a playoff game this Saturday. And Mike and I were discussing, what, Monday? Tuesday? Monday. Let's say it was Monday we started discussing this. Monday. Where we said, okay, now that you're in the playoffs, you're going to have national media out here. And what's the national media going to see when they come to Seattle? Are they going to see a SoDo? Why is it called SoDo? South of the Dome, back when they had the King Dome. That's why it was called SoDo. NoDo was north of the Dome. Nobody calls it NoDo anymore, but there's SoDo. SoDo, south of the Dome, that's the area where the stadiums are, and it's filled with homeless encampment. But not anymore. Mike and I discussed driving down there, taking pictures of it. Well, it looks like our mainstream media had the exact same idea. They went to the street. We literally spoke about Hawk Alley. Hawk Alley, where I took CBS and 60 Minutes to show them how bad the homeless problem was in 2019. I took them down there, and it hasn't gotten better since. Well, guess what? It's better now. All cleaned up, all cleared out. Just like when President Xi of China was coming to San Francisco, all of a sudden, Gavin Newsom and everybody else, all the Democrat officials, clean up everything. So that way, nobody will realize how bad it is when the national media comes and they go, what are you talking about? It's beautiful. By the way, Mike, that's the next step. The next step in predicting the future is you're going to have leftist media types who are here for the game going, I don't know why they call Seattle a hellhole. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's going to be like John Travolta going this way. What? What? Like in Pulp Fiction. What about? Well, I don't see anything, right? Same kind of deal. So this ties in perfectly to my theory, because yesterday we did the whole story about how she refused to sweep a homeless encampment that was cleared for being swept in Ballard. And I said she's doing this to appease the activists because she's probably having SoDo cleaned up as we speak. And Mike, it seems like that's exactly what happened. Did you have a chance to drive through the neighborhood on your way to work?
Nah, I skipped it.
Because we already know what happened.
Yeah.
We already saw the video. True. What's the point? But she is going back on her promise to never sweep homeless encampments. Why? Because if it's bad enough, and President Trump or anybody else in the national media sees how bad it is, there goes the World Cup. And that is a massive embarrassment for Katie. So wait a second. Did she just admit that sweeping homeless encampments works? Did she just admit that because the city just did it? Mike, you reached out to her office for comments a few days ago. Have you heard back from them yet?
Oh, man, I got to check in with my buddy Dr. Evil on this one.
How about new?
Yeah, no, not even a little bit. And it's interesting. I wonder if they got the idea to do these sweeps from me, because I specifically mentioned that part, the 2200 block of South Utah Street and or Avenue or whatever.
Whatever
it is.
They call it over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. But sure enough, I ask for comment, and then with the next day, oh, suddenly it's clear.
Isn't that incredible?
You're welcome.
Now, I will say everybody thank Mike for the fact that the streets are going to be cleaned up, but this exposes the hypocrisy. So you have just admitted that sweeping homeless encampments works, and that it makes a neighborhood safer, and it makes a neighborhood cleaner, and it makes an area more desirable. And you have proven that you are doing stuff just to satisfy the activists in other parts of Seattle. Katie Wilson has just marked herself for her entire term with this one incident, because you can't trust anything she says.
So your post went medium viral on social media, and there was one comment in particular that really kind of caused a little burr under my seat. I don't know if you look at the comments as often as I do sometimes, but like somebody had said, well, Bruce Harrell would have done the same thing, you know, indicating that, you know, ipso facto vis-a-vis that there's no difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I stifled the urge to respond. So I'll just respond here on the radio. radio and say, well, one of those candidates didn't run on a I'm going to stop the sweeps campaign.
Right.
Katie Wilson is like, oh, no, I'm not going to do no sweeps. And whereas Bruce Harrell, bless his heart, made no such promises.
No.
So that's not entirely incorrect that the result probably would have been the same. This probably would have happened anyway, regardless of who was mayor. The difference is the hypocrisy.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Bruce Harrell did do this. He did it for Taylor Swift. He did it for the All-Star Game. He did this. But then again, that was all he ever had. His thing was just bounce him from block to block to block to block. Now, from the leftist perspective, we just need affordable housing. That's not the solution. What he should have done is say the semisonic plan, which I've had for years. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Treatment, jail. Pick one. Pick one or leave. That's it. No more of these services. But Katie Wilson has proven she is a colossal hypocrite. If you want to talk about lowering housing prices and actual affordable housing, when we come back, my friends, some great economic news that's going to be great to help out the Gen Zers who think they're never going to be able to afford a house. We'll talk about that, dive into the swamp when we come back. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Just before we go into the swamp, it's a little early for this. We don't normally get this early in the show. We have text of the day. Already, Mike, I don't know how we forgot this angle on the whole Katie Wilson Seahawks thing. All right, this one from Jeremy, right, in Tacoma. What about cleaning up the illegal food carts for the playoffs? Oh, how did we miss that? How did we miss that? Talking about that, Mike, I'm giving you a job. I'm giving you an assignment. You're going to the game on Saturday, right?
I don't work on my day off.
And that's not... While you're down there, if you happen to walk past some of the food carts, maybe a little video or something. That is.
I was going to do that on my own, but now I'm not because I don't work on my day off.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Enough.
You ruined it.
Now I ruined all the fun. But seriously, how.
I won't give you stuff to do on your day off.
I don't get to tell you what to do anyway. You don't have to listen to me. If
yeah,
anything,
I don't
I'd
work
say,
for you. I work for Mr. KVI.
I was going to say, if anything, I think more of the relationship around here is I more listen to Mike than Mike listens to me. But I will say is that this is kind of entertaining, is that are we going to see a repeat of what happened during the playoffs with the Mariners? Because what happened was, not the losing part. We don't want that. We want the winning part. But what you saw was they were getting rid of all the Americans who were selling things illegally on the streets, but allowing the illegal aliens to sell all the stuff they wanted on the streets. The only people whose only vocabulary is hot dog, hot dog, hot dog. That was it. Okay, are we going to see a repeat of this? John in Lakewood says, where are all these people going to be going? That's a good point. Where are all these people going to be going? Georgetown. It's right next door. They're going to sweep them all on over to Georgetown. That's why I saw Georgetown getting worse. Well, things that are getting better around here is the economy. And you actually look, mortgage rates are coming down. Now, the media, the way they are portraying this, it's crazy. Somebody actually posted a comparison online today between the way CNN talks about this stuff, how during the Biden administration, look, they're coming down from record highs. And in the Trump administration, inflation is still up. Yes, it is still up, but it's coming down from the record highs created by the Biden administration. So young people are going to say, I still can't afford a house. You're right. I get that. I understand that. But prices are coming down. Have you noticed around here some of our gas stations? The prices are coming down, not because of anything they're doing locally. They're still much higher than the rest of the country. But because the national prices are falling, they're bringing down the gas prices a little bit. I don't know if it was a mistake or not, but I went to a Starbucks today and my stuff was cheaper. Did Starbucks drop the prices or did my person over there screw up the pricing? Because I go there pretty often. I don't know. Things are getting cheaper. They're still really high, though. It's going to take a while for them to come down. And the average person goes, it's still more than I used to pay. You're right. And that's the thing the Trump administration has to break through the noise on and explain it to people. People have a very, very short attention span. Here's something else, though, that happens when things are getting better with ICE. Do you know that U.S. overdose deaths fell most of 2025? Why do we think the overdose rates went down? There's a hard one for you. Maybe it's because you cut off a lot of the drugs coming into the country through the cartels. Maybe it's because you're curtailing cartel activity. And that's bringing down the amount of drugs coming into the country. Do you think maybe that has something to do with the border. Just thinking outside the box here a little bit, that U.S. overdose deaths fell. Something else, there's more home supply. Why do you think there's more home supply? Because the 10 million people who never should have been in the country are not competing with you for the homes anymore. They're kicking them out one by one by one. Is that the only thing that's bringing down the mortgage rates? Of course not. Bringing down interest rates helps. There's a whole bunch of stuff that helps with that. But that is definitely a contributing factor. So you see things are getting better, but the people would rather riot out there in the streets. Try to make it about you're deporting black people, brown people, deporting minorities. You're a bunch of Nazis. You're a bunch of gazpacho agents out on the streets. That's what they'd rather say. Let's go riot. Something else here. They're working on lowering drug prices. The administration today announced the Great Healthcare Plan. And what their plan is to lower drug prices. They're going to try and allow more over-the-counter medicines because there's a lot of things that really shouldn't require a prescription that do require a prescription. If you guys want to be more like Canada, that's how you can do it. Lower insurance premiums. Stop sending big insurance companies billions of dollars in extra funding. Yes, I completely agree with all of this. If you look at this thing, this should be something we universally agree on. But the left will never give Trump a win at all. Maximize price transparency, see why we're paying so much for these things. This is basic common sense stuff. And the left is still losing their minds over all of it. All of it. Also, if it's easier to get this stuff, there's more supply. And guess what? There's less demand and things get cheaper. That's how you fix it. Just like with the housing stuff. Why are housing prices around here still so ridiculously high? Because the restrictions to build, to expand, are still there. And if you don't address that, you're not really ever going to address the pricing around here. Unless everybody just moves out because Amazon, Microsoft, and the other company too. Lots more to discuss as the show continues, my friends. You know what is expanding? Olympia City Council wants to expand their civil liberties protections to include polyamorous relationships. Yeah, we'll tell you all about the latest insanity when we come back. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. You know, we got real problems in the world. And there's real problems in Olympia. I mean, you got the needles on the streets, and you got the homeless everywhere, and you got prices are out of control. But what is the Olympia City Council spending their time on? They are proposing legislation to add polyamory to diverse family structure civil liberty protections on behalf of the Organization for Polyamory and Ethical Non-Monogamy to combat discrimination in the polyamorous and LGBTQIA two-spirit plus communities. If you know what any of that means without looking it up, more power to you. Basically, they want to have civil liberty protections for anybody who's in a, shall we say, not exclusive relationship. Somebody who has multiple partners, multiple spouses. Are they in favor of all that Mormon stuff? The Latter-day Saints people, are they in favor of that? Is that what's going on? Are we going to try and get the Mormon population here? Or is this more, we want to do something for the LGBTQIA, two-spirit plus community? I'm a little confused. Here's them proposing this in Olympia, and I want to credit our friend Alicia Perkins from OSD Rescue for bringing us the story, because nobody covers Olympia the way she does. If you don't subscribe to her Substack, you should do so right now. OSD Rescue, it started as the Olympia School District Rescue. Make sure you subscribe to her on Substack. This is a video clip from the city council meeting.
This referral proposes that the city council consider an ordinance to affirm and protect diverse family structures by adding family and relationship structure as a protected category wherever protected groups are articulated within the existing city code. That means adding a category in the city code regarding housing, healthcare, public services, civil rights given to city residents. This also opens conversation for other cities and the counties and state and federal government to add these same types of protections. That's why it's important that local governments do things like this. Moreover, family and relationship structure includes, and not limited to, single parent, multi-generational, blended, chosen, non-monogamous, and polyamory households. Homes that have existed since the concept of homes existed. Just going to say that. Whenever there was a home, one of these existed, but are often not protected as a category. So some may ask, who is this for? Well, this is for anyone who lives with anyone It could be their mother-in-law, it could be the friends or family if they don't have blood relatives. It could be the single mother or father. It could be a member of the LGBTQIA Two-Spirit Plus community for whom we have a sanctuary city status. So in a lot of ways, this is thinking of our sanctuary city and codifying protections for folks and other folks that are not in that community. This is essentially an expansion of civil liberties in a time when the federal executive acts as if liberties don't matter or exist.
No, here we go, after the Trump stuff. Okay, I just have a practical question here before we make the usual jokes we're going to make about any of this kind of stuff. So if Mike and I decide to get a house together, and we moved in with Mr. KVI and Phil and Zach, does that mean we're now covered by this polyamorous business just because we're all roommates now? Is that what that means?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so then what?
Yes, what?
Thank you. So then, doesn't that just mean you're not allowed to discriminate against anybody for any reason? Leave out the polyamory or anything else for that matter? Doesn't this just mean you shouldn't discriminate? But now we're saying, well, you can't discriminate against this group and this group and this group and this group and this group. I'm very confused what the function of this nonsense even is. Now, me personally, I have my theories about why this group was doing it. In fact, there's an advocacy group behind this. The Organization for Polyamory and Ethical Non-Monogamy, otherwise known as OPEN. So just do what you want with whoever you want. No problem. We'll go ahead and do that. I hate to do this, but I gotta do this. Robert Vanderpool, the Olympia City Council member who proposed this legislation. I don't think being non-monogamous is going to help with your dating life based on your profile picture. I'm sorry, dude. It's out there. I say this from time to time. I don't think this is going to improve your chances. I don't understand the move here. You have real problems in your city, and this is what you are wasting your time on? Real? I don't get this at all. I don't get why we are even wasting the time discussing something like this. You shouldn't discriminate against anybody. This is the problem I have with hate crime stuff all the time. When you say, I want to prosecute somebody for hate crimes, when they can't prove it was a hate crime, they say we're dropping the whole crime. No, the whole crime didn't go away. Somebody still vandalized the building. Somebody still assaulted somebody. Prosecute vandals. Prosecute people who assault other people. This reminds me a lot of that because you're just trying to include everything you could possibly think of. Make everything a protected class. Make everything a protected group. And when you do that, nobody's special anymore. And maybe that's the way it should just be. Don't discriminate. Don't assault. Don't vandalize. But it seems like everybody's just trying to create a new group. By the way, not far off, you know what it's going to be? NAMBLA. National Association for Man Boys. That's what's coming next. Guarantee it. That it's going to be that kind of stuff coming next. Just watch. Soon it'll be protections for everybody, no matter what they're doing. Even if it's pedophilia, that is the kind of thing that comes next. Then they'll be protecting that farm in Enumclaw or Olympia. Just watch. Soon it's going to be do what you want with who or what you want at any point. No problem. Guaranteed that's what's coming next. May not be very PC of me to say any of this. I guarantee you, that's what's on the horizon. When we come back, my friends, Bob Ferguson. Did he just jinx the Seahawks? Maybe. We'll also talk about the latest attack on law enforcement by Washington Democrats. You're listening to The Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Welcome to The Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI, your home for the politically homeless, streaming live at KVI.com and the KVI app. If you want to be part of the most dangerous show on the airwaves, call or text the Warrior Injury Law Studio line at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Coming up this hour, did Bob Ferguson just curse the Seahawks, cast a hex on the whole thing? Plus, Pete Serrano is going to be joining us. But before we get to any of that, my friends, I love when I get polled. For some reason, I am on every poll list of every poll here in Washington, be it national, be it local, probably because I always respond. And they are so much fun. So last night, I got a poll. And it's clear that Bob Ferguson and the Democrats are concerned about their approval and a few other marketing problems they're having. Now, I know there were some polls in the field from some other friends of ours. I'm not sure if this is the same one. Here's what this thing was asking, and I'd love for you guys to reply. Tell us what you think. You give us a text, the answers to these questions, 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. First question, do you think things in Washington State are headed in the right direction, or do you feel they're off on the wrong track. Your choices are right direction, wrong track, or don't know. Text us at 206-421-5757. Now, Governor Bob Ferguson, do you have a very favorable opinion of him? Somewhat favorable, somewhat unfavorable, very unfavorable, never heard of him, heard of him, but have no opinion. Let us know at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. For the Washington State Legislature, do you have a very favorable opinion? Somewhat favorable, somewhat unfavorable, very unfavorable, never heard of, but no opinion. Let us know, 206-421-5757. Now, here's where it got a little interesting. It started asking about taxing cigarettes more. Do you think that'll lead to people smoking less? Do you think they're all right taxed? You know what I answered for all these questions, because it had a why did you answer that way section? I said, I don't like cigarettes. I don't smoke cigarettes, but stop taxing them because you're taxing everything. That's what I wrote. Then I saw what came next. It was, how do you feel about taxing Zyn and other nicotine patches, things like that, to quit smoking? Mike, you know what I think this is in direct response to? I think it's in direct response to now. It is more expensive to quit smoking than to continue smoking. And they know that is a bad PR metric for them, and they want to do something about it. Also, they're looking at new ways to tax you. Oh, let's keep going after the smokers. Oh, let's start going after the quitters. Oh, let's go after the vapors. Let's go after this. Let's go after that. That's all they know how to do. That's all they know how to do. So they're trying to figure out, where can we pass more taxes where people won't yell at us? And I wonder if a lot of you, if any of you got the survey, please let me know, 206-421-5757. And let me know if you answered similarly to me. Because I kind of had to create my own survey by filling in, stop taxing, stop taxing, stop taxing. Anytime there was a place where I could add a comment. It's unfortunate that the news media isn't covering Olympia as well as they should be. Because maybe if Washingtonians knew about this stuff in advance, then maybe they could stop it and show how unpopular it is before it gets far enough to be signed by Turd Ferguson. Now, Como News, actually, out of all the mainstream media outlets, has been doing an excellent job covering the legislature. They really, really have. I got to give it to our friends over at Como News, doing a stellar job. I really believe you are. I hope that continues past the first week. I hope it's not, okay, we sent Chris Daniels down there for a couple days, made some videos, and now we're not going back. No, no, no. You got to keep covering this stuff. Worst coverage goes to King 5. I'm going to read you this article, and I'm just going to read you the lines of what they think are the top bills to watch this session in Olympia, and you tell me what's missing. You ready? Let me read all of them here for you. Artificial intelligence regulation. That's what they're hot. That's a top bill to watch. Mike, have we even mentioned that once on the show at all in any way, shape, or form? No. But that's the one they list first. The very one they list first. Okay. Number two, law enforcement identification. Okay. Use of masks by law enforcement. Sure. That's something we've talked about a lot. Still not the top item. Housing in commercial zones. By the way, I got no problem with this. Where you say we want to convert office space or retail space into housing or to homeless shelters. I understand it. There's some discussions and some safeguards you need. I understand it. We haven't had a chance to really discuss it. We're going to in the 5 o'clock hour today. Immigrant worker protections. Yeah, they want you to have to inform your employees when ICE is coming, by the way. That's what they want you to do. That's how insane this is. Okay, not that one. And the payroll tax proposal. Okay, so the payroll tax, where they want to tax businesses with the jumpstart tax slash head tax, the same thing they did in Seattle, which caused Amazon to get up and leave and go over to Bellevue. What's missing from that list, my friends? What did King 5 not deem necessary enough to list, even though Bob Ferguson put it top of his State of the State address? What did they not mention? The state income tax. They didn't mention the millionaire's tax, which is going to become the state income tax. They didn't mention it at all, which means they don't want you paying attention to it. When you do an article, which is literally called Key Bills to Watch as Washington's 2026 legislative session begins, how can you not mention a statewide income tax? That would be the first one we have in our state's history. You don't mention that at all? At all? King 5 is absolute garbage. I'm sure at one point they used to be a good news organization. In fact, they're one of the first news organizations to interview me when I was trying to expose stuff going on here in Seattle. But whoever was running it back then ain't running it now, because they've just completely gone off the rails. The only reason they wouldn't mention the income tax is because they want the income tax, is because they're on the side of it, or whatever editor assigned that story or wrote that story doesn't want you focusing on it at all. And this is the same thing that happened during the last legislative cycle. You remember during the last one, the media almost seemed surprised that all the, oh my God, this is the largest tax increase in state history. We know. We were screaming about it for 4 months, literally for 4 months, and the month before that, and the month before that, and the month before that. And they never did anything about it. Now, there's this other bill that's getting a lot of attention, right? According to Como News, a bill moving through Olympia Thursday could significantly change how sheriffs operate in Washington state. It would modernize standards and give a state board the power to remove an elected sheriff. Okay, you got me with the modernized standards thing, but then remove an elected sheriff? Senate Bill 5974 would update decades-old laws governing sheriffs and other law enforcement leaders, including setting clearer eligibility standards and accountability rules. Fine, got no problem with that. But the bill would also allow a state oversight board to remove a sitting sheriff if their peace officer certification is revoked. Now, let me discuss this one for a second. This is clearly the Swank bill. That's what it is. We all know they're going after Sheriff Swank. We all know this, right? That's exactly what this is. They don't like him. They couldn't beat him at the ballot box. So they're trying to find an excuse to remove him, which means if somebody decertifies him, then all of a sudden this board can go, yeah, we want you out of here. We don't like you. We want you gone. We all know that's what this is about, right? Now, what's fascinating about this is the Democrats may have screwed themselves, because what happened was they pushed in King County for it to be an appointed position to be sheriff and not to be an elected position. So what happens is the Democrats all of a sudden appoint, Dow Constantine appoints Patty Cole Tindall, who's basically just a puppet. And she does whatever Dow Constantine said and now does whatever Gurmay Zahalai says. And that came right at the time where Burian said, hey, you know what? We don't like this homeless problem we're having. We kind of want to enforce the law more on it. So can you guys help us out? Because King County sheriffs are the ones who provide policing for Burian. And Patty Cole Tindall said no. And Dow Constantine said, we're taking you to court. So you can see how an appointed sheriff, and if I'm not mistaken, Patty Cole Tindall actually wouldn't have fit the requirements they're now laying out. I don't think she had been in law enforcement. If I recall, she had to go to the police academy to have the position. They appointed an activist. So I don't think she would actually qualify for all this unless she's been in the position long enough that now she's either grandfathered in or now she has the experience where she didn't have the experience before. But here it is clearly they are going after Sheriff Swank. That is what is going on. They are going after him because they don't like him. So they want to be able to remove the certification anytime they want and appoint a replacement. That's how they get around a lot of places. Saw what happened in King County and said, we're not giving up our rights to vote on sheriff because look what happened in King County. All of a sudden they appoint a political activist and things immediately get worse. Now, that's not the only anti-cop legislation. We spoke about the anti-cop legislation where they're going after the face masks, and actually Pete Serrano is going to be joining us, new U.S. attorney. Pete Serrano is going to be joining us at 4:30 to discuss the face mask thing. But for right now, there's another piece of legislation they have. This is one brought to us by Daria Farver. She's an Iranian-American, and it's House Bill 2293. And would bar Washington law enforcement agencies from engaging in any training programs or exchanges with foreign security forces. Now, you know, and I know, why she's actually doing this. You mean the anti-Israel activist doesn't want Seattle Police Department and other agencies training with Israel? That's for sure why they're doing it. Except, you know that for sure she has no idea what she's talking about. Because when she got called out on the problems with this bill, she kept asking people to give her more information to rewrite it because she just wrote this bill with the activist talking points. Make no mistake about it. She wants our country, our city, our state less safe with this bill. Counterterrorism, number one. If you have an issue with counterterrorism, you have something you want to learn from somebody, who do you go to for counterterrorism? Maybe the country that deals with the most terrorism in the world that have become the experts on this? Representative Dan Griffey immediately called her out on this during the bill's first hearing on Tuesday.
I'm not in support of this yet. I'm going to need to be convinced. We have a lot of counterterrorism training that goes on in the United States, and a lot of the United States officials send a lot of their counterterrorism people to Israel to get to that, because Israelis do that pretty much better than anybody in the world. If we prohibited our Washingtonians, law enforcement, to go to get the best training in the world. Don't you think that that might be, you know, a risk to where we don't bring the best techniques for counterterrorism, especially? And we are pretty poised here in Washington State for have terrorist activities. Wouldn't that concern you?
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly right. Jenny Graham, Representative Jenny Graham, when I see her at the Roanoke convention next week, I'm going to have to, like, you know, give her a big hug or something, because what she did, she went right forward on this. This was stellar.
I have a question regarding that. This has a feeling of, we will allow training with these countries, but we won't allow training with these countries. Is this specific to Israel?
No. This is a broad bill looking at all sorts of foreign military, right? The two countries that we were talking about just now exempting are our immediate border countries. And I do think that it will make it very challenging to make sure that our borders are secured and prepared to respond to crises if those two are not exempted out of the bill. Those are the only two countries that I've had conversations about exempting.
So you are picking and choosing. These countries okay, these countries not okay. How's the Mexican government with stuff these days? They're doing what we want now, but beforehand, don't forget, they were flooding our country with illegal aliens. So you're going to exempt them, but not exempt other countries.
Well, so that does go back to what I was saying, is that we allow some countries and not other countries. And to me, that is something that I find problematic regarding what we deal with gangs, regarding what happens with drones. Having been a former martial arts instructor myself, and having been through different martial arts training, including Krav Maga, that particular training was absolutely invaluable when you're talking about multiple people coming after you, recognizing bad situations to try to not get in those situations to begin with, being able to hopefully get away and survive a bad situation. I'm just curious why, especially when we are talking about the violence that's going on right now and there being problems with law enforcement using firearms, why would we ever want to take another tool away from them?
Fatality. That's it right there. That's it right there. That's exactly right. Exactly right. That's what that is. But the most devastating testimony against this thing came from James McMahon, who's the policy director for the Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs. This one absolutely shredded the entire argument. First, he goes back to the Canada discussion.
Despite the fact that they're a border country to our state, use the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. I don't think they're a military, right? The I forget what they call them. I wrote it down. The Royal Canadian Armed Forces, certainly. I think that qualifies. What about the military police within them, right? There's military police within every military organization. Could we train with them? I don't know. The RCMP, while we don't think that they're a military, their retirees participate in the same armed forces retirement program as members of who retire from there. They certainly are an intelligence service. They have a whole division about intelligence, like many of U.S. law enforcement agencies, including several in Washington state. And of course, they're a security service, right? I mean, security is what law enforcement does. And so I respectfully disagree. I don't read the language of the bill to be specific to military. It says foreign military intelligence service or security service.
This is a guy who knows what he's talking about, knows the facts, and something else fascinating. He did the whole thing without mentioning counterterrorism at all because he knew somebody else was going to mention counterterrorism. This was brilliantly done. You know what he did next? He said, hey, we got the World Cup coming to town. We need to know who might be here for it.
You all talked about self-defense. What about provision of medical aid and tactical medicine, some of that kind of stuff? This summer, our state will be hosting a whole series of World Cup games, a massive, massive event. We're going to have people from all over the world coming to Washington. It's a great thing. We have been planning for years about the public safety and security, and there's all kinds of intelligence that we've considered in this long-ranging process. And if any of us think that we haven't or we shouldn't have spoken to other countries that have hosted World Cup games to figure out what kind of challenges they have to not have to relearn the lessons that they've learned, what kind of threats typically come, right? Like, we're simply not doing our job if we don't do that.
Exactly. Exactly right. He did this whole thing without mentioning counterterrorism. You know how many emails I get from foreign dignitaries that are coming to town from different consul generals from different countries? He mentioned that too, the foreign dignitaries. Think about how many famous people come through town.
Washington hosts foreign dignitaries way more often than most people would think. If we're not communicating with their intelligence services, maybe it's their military that provides the intelligence service. Maybe they also provide the law enforcement in their country. I don't know. There are like 190 some odd countries in this world. If we can't communicate with them to figure out what are the threats to this person, what kinds of security needs do they have, how do we best protect them while they're within the boundaries of Washington, again, I don't think we're doing their job.
Perfect example. And also, a lot of people don't realize the military is the police in a lot of countries. They don't have our constitution. They don't work the way we do. They don't have states. The military is the police. They don't understand that. One of the more masterful parts, when he brought up Ukraine, because lefties love Ukraine. Slava Ukraine, right?
I've personally sat through not less than one briefing, training by a foreign military intelligence or security service. This one happened to be this summer by the Ukrainian National Police. Now it's a police organization, but are they military? Because they were militarized and put on the front lines on the war in Ukraine. I don't know. I sat through training that they provided specifically about how the use of drones, how drones were being weaponized in that war. Not big, right, remotely flown from 100 miles away drones, talking like the drones that you could buy at Walmart, now probably a little more sophisticated, how those were being, are being used in that war on by both sides, frankly. We participate in that to try to figure out what lessons can we learn about protecting Washingtonians from these kinds of attacks in large-scale events, whether it be World Cup, whether it be Seahawks games, Mariners games, college football, protests, you know, parades, you name it.
Exactly. Exactly right. Slava Ukraine, right? Let's learn what we can from them. And then he made the point I make all the time. Even if you are training with a foreign military, it's not that kind of training. It's training for police. They're not teaching them to fly a jet or run a tank.
And so, of course, as Representative and I were emailing briefly about, of course, there are some things that I think we could all agree on, right? We don't need our law enforcement officers to know how to fly an F-22 or whatever it is, or pilot an aircraft carrier. But there are legitimate things, and we think we should be able to do that.
Now, Daria Fauerver had responses to all of this, but they were such rambling nonsense, completely incoherent. It showed she didn't know anything about her own bill. It showed she didn't know how law enforcement actually works. And it shows this is entirely political. That's what it's about. She may say it's not. It 100% is. So if you want to testify against this thing, you can call the Washington Legislative Hotline. As I understand it these days, basically all they have is an answering machine, and you record your calls there, so it'll take 1 minute of your time. It's 1-800-562-6000. That's 1-800-562-6000. And you say no to House Bill 2293. You say no to the bill that would restrict police trainings with other countries. Say no to House Bill 2293. Once again, the number for the Washington Legislative Hotline is 1-800-562-6000. That's 1-800-562-6000. If you do actually get a person, be nice, be polite, leave a message. They do record these things. We go to the Warrior Injury Law Studio line. Take a call from Ian in Tacoma. Ian, what's going on?
Got a question for you, Ari. Who decides to revoke the peace officer certificate?
Great question. I haven't done the deep dive into this bill because I'm not sure if it's the certification board or if it's a city council or a county council or whoever decides to do it. But clearly, whoever is doing it, it's ripe for a problem, don't you think?
I agree. It's just a degree of how worried I'm going to be about it, depending on who's in charge of it.
Right. Well, I will tell you something, is that a massive amount of people registered that they don't want this thing. I mean, you're talking the ratio was like 12 to 1 against this bill. But people should still keep calling. And once again, I'll give out that number, 1-800-562-6000. That's 1-800-562-6000. I don't have the number for the bill in front of me, but it's the one that would limit sheriff's abilities and would actually... Now, by the way, you want them to have more qualifications for getting the appointment and for running for the job? Fine. The issue is arbitrarily removing them. So what you should do is call the legislative hotline and say no to this bill as well, which is Senate Bill 5974. Senate Bill 5974. Say no to Senate Bill 5974 and House Bill 2293. Ian, appreciate the call. Appreciate you being part of the show. You want to be part of the show, give us a call or text at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. When we come back, my friends, Democrats in Olympia aren't the only ones behaving badly. Got a whole bunch of teachers now embroiled in scandal, going to jail. Haven't had these stories in a while, but it looks like we're starting 2026 the way we ended 2025. We'll give you all details when we come back. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Well, a whole bunch of teachers behaving badly here in Washington. Apparently, the White Pass School District superintendent was arrested for possessing child sexual abuse material. I'm not going to get into the details of this case because you probably got kids in the car, but that's only the tip of the iceberg today. A former public school teacher in Washington State told Haywire how the system trained him to keep secrets from parents. And if you wanted to know why it's so important that we have the parental rights bill, this is why. Give a listen.
My name is Ryan DeFont. Right now, I'm currently teaching at Evergreen Christian School, and I live in Olympia, Washington. I used to work at Centennial Elementary in the Olympia School District. And I can recall several staff meetings where we were trained and showed how we can hide information from parents using our Skyward program, was where we did our grades and attendance and information for families to access. But we had a teacher and a couple teachers actually train us on how we can input information into Skyward that was behind a wall that parents couldn't access. We were changing pronouns, we were changing gender, we were hiding that information. I think many teachers want to keep their heads down, bite their lips, bite their tongues because they want a job. We want to partner with our parents, and we want to trust them, and they want to trust us with medical stuff, with bullying. There's times where we can't disclose that information for 48 hours or more. We want to disclose if there's an issue in the building right away, but we're told we can't.
So wait a second. This was going on, and now you understand more why these teachers' unions are so opposed to the parental rights bill. This makes it so clear. Thank God for the federal government. I can't believe how many times I've said that. Thank God for the federal government. Because now the Tacoma Public Schools, along with many, many others in our area, have been added to the list of ones under investigation by the Trump administration because they allow boys to compete against girls in violation of the law. I think that what happens at the Supreme Court is going to have far-reaching ramifications. And if you're worried about the initiative not working out, we're going to see what happens with this as well before the Supreme Court. We go to the Warrior Injury Law Studio line. Take a call from Jason and Lacey. Jason, what's going on?
Hey, I was actually calling about the Senate Bill 5926. I hadn't had a chance to listen to all your show today, so I didn't know if you guys covered it. But that's the bill to block public access to the names and the personal information of the people that own, like,
The daycares. So there's two of them. There's Senator Lisa Wellman proposed two bills. One of them is not going forward, officially not going forward, at least for now. Sometimes bills come back. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now. I'll have to look them up. One of them for sure isn't going forward. I have to check the other one and see if it's going forward. I think one was in the House, one was in the Senate. I have to go back and double check. But what we found out yesterday, and they were telling the media different things. Finally, everybody in the media said, hey, what's the story with this? And we finally got a commitment, and we got it in writing that's not going forward. So hopefully that one's dead. It doesn't mean it can't come back, but we think it's dead for now.
Well, there's no notes on the website about it, except for the original bill, and said that it was read January 12th, but there's nothing that says that it's been killed or shut down.
So that's not how it works.
And I think it's still going.
Let me tell you how it works, just so you understand. If it gets referred to committee, until things move on, it kind of just sits there. It kind of just stays there. There's no official, it's dead. That'll come later. You're right. You should keep an eye on it. 1,000%, Jason, I agree with you. But just because it's still on the website doesn't mean one thing. And just because they told us one thing doesn't mean they're telling the truth. So if you could please keep an eye on that, we'll work to hold them accountable. You let me know, okay?
Yeah, our best asset is the public, and they continue to push to do their own investigations on these centers and all the fraud, and this bill blocks that, so we definitely cannot allow that.
Exactly. In fact, what I'll try to remember to do this tomorrow is actually pull up the legislative hotline, pull up all the bill numbers, check in on the status of all of them, and have people call so they can say no to these bills. Jason, appreciate the call. Appreciate you being a watchdog for all of us here in Washington. We appreciate it. You want to be part of the show, give us a call or text at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. When we come back, my friends, Pete Serrano will be joining us to see if any of these laws passed here by the Washington legislature will actually affect ICE or ICE agents. We'll have him weigh in from the legal perspective. When we come back, you're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Well, my friends, we have some good news. A friend of the show, Pete Serrano, is the first assistant U.S. attorney for Washington State, and he is joining us now on the Warrior Injury Law studio line to weigh in on some insanity happening not just here, but across the entire country. Pete, welcome back to the show, my man.
Hey, it's great to be back. One minor correction for Eastern Washington. So
for Eastern.
Just the good half of the state where we breathe freely.
There you go. So I was going to say, so for the people that don't want to be attached to my part of the state, I understand. I won't take that personally. I totally get it. All right, Pete. So let's talk about what's going on here with this nonsense in Olympia, where they want to pass this law which would make it illegal for ICE agents or any law enforcement, for that matter, to wear masks. Isn't this pure virtue signaling? Because there's no reason the feds have to listen to this in any way, shape, or form?
Absolutely true. In fact, yesterday when I testified against the bill, and to be clear, against the bill, I ran the notion that there's this thing called federal preemption. And that's a longstanding doctrine, almost well over 200 years old, that says when the states pass a law, if the feds don't like it, they can say pound sand. But, you know, Ari, with everything else, this is one of those great ideas that was birthed in California, some other states. There's ongoing litigation on the issue in California. So to your point about it being pure virtue signaling, that's about what it is, because eventually that law gets struck down, and then either we're going to have to litigate it here in Washington, or maybe they'll actually get the message. And I don't hold my breath for them getting the message.
So here's what I'm concerned about. Let me just give you my doomsday scenario. What happens is, okay, they pass this thing. It's in court, but in the meantime, who knows if there's an injunction or not. Let's say it's law of Washington for now. ICE agents don't have to follow it, but the local police officers, county troopers, you name it, everybody has to now listen to the county sheriffs, state troopers. They all have to follow this. And then there's some riot here and they start going after them. Now, what I also see happening is the activists here pulling out their cell phones, and anytime ICE is doing anything, going, you're breaking the law because your face is covered. You're breaking the law so your face is covered. So they're going to get all the social media stuff, like Tim Walz was saying, go out and record everybody you possibly can. And now you've basically incentivized people to demonize all law enforcement, not just ICE. And now they're going after our local law enforcement when they wanted to go after ICE. Maybe that was the plan originally. What do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if that was a plan. You know, and unfortunately, what that does is it creates a heightened scenario in which the public, not just our police officers, but the public is less safe. You know, what I heard in the bill testimony was, this is all about transparency, transparency, transparency. Well, if we cared about transparency, maybe we'd just prohibit masks altogether for everyone anywhere. But, you know, of course, that's not what the real deal is. And again, I'm very concerned that in the heightened environment that we live in, that this is going to be a bad, really will turn into your doomsday scenario, where I think, quite frankly, the public is placed at more risk by being emboldened by the legislation.
Yeah, because as I mentioned earlier in the show, today there was a post in one of the wackadoodle Facebook groups in Seattle, and they said, ICE is at the local Safeway. It turns out there was a community meeting with law enforcement, and they all drove their cars to the thing, and that's why it looked like there was a large police presence. But their lights weren't on. They weren't running around with guns or with face masks or anything else. But the panic they're trying to create create is a real thing. And I remember these people freaking out when Hamas supporters are walking down the streets wearing masks, or when Antifa's walking down the streets wearing masks. I remember Bob Ferguson or any of the Democrats saying we should do something about that. Instead, I remember them saying we need to pass anti-doxing laws. Now it seems like they want to dox federal agents and local law enforcement.
Well, and that's one of the biggest concerns. You know, in the testimony I gave yesterday, I mentioned that doxing's up 8,000% on DHS agents. You know, it's a significant and staggering number, and it's very concerning, especially when you hear things being reported, even here locally, where our agents have been doxed. When I put out a call out for data, I didn't get specific numbers, but I asked, is this, you know, something that's just happening in Minnesota, or is it, you know, California, or is it actually happening here? And I had several partner agencies respond. We've had, you know, some of our LEOs, law enforcement officers, have been doxed here in Washington State. So it's not just a boogeyman that's, you know, somewhere in the Midwest or down south. It's happening here.
Right. Doesn't surprise me at all, unfortunately. Also, I seem to remember that the left really, really liked masks during COVID. In fact, some of them still haven't given them up, and they're still all obsessed with them. But, you know, if they didn't have double standards, they'd have no standards at all. Pete, tell us what happens in your new role, in your new position, specifically for Eastern Washington. What are the things that fall under that? Because, for example, there's some things out here in Western Washington, which I've wanted to deal with for a long time. For example, Antifa, which is now a domestic terrorist organization. There was the whole round table at the White House. President Trump talked about it. There's not so much of them out in Eastern Washington. Most of them seem to be out here in Western Washington. So what falls under your jurisdiction?
Well, any of the criminal activity that happens here in Eastern Washington will be within my office. You know, any of the affirmative civil litigation, and that could be anything from civil rights violations to issues with voting to issues with, you know, schooling issues, that all will fall within my bailiwick. Of course, that's the type of stuff that I run back to D.C. and get headquarters buy in on, or have them take it for me. Then there's, you know, asset forfeiture. You know, we find someone with guns, drugs, or human trafficking, and we start taking their stuff and, you know, either sell it or keep it. So there's a whole plethora of things that are happening here in Eastern Washington that are ongoing matters that I think will hopefully help Washington rise above its substandard standards.
In the last few minutes, we have with Pete Serrano. So tell us about some cases you can discuss, about what are the things your office is actively tracking right now as a first assistant U.S. attorney for Eastern Washington.
You know, we try not to comment on ongoing litigation, but I will tell you this. We are making sure that the crime is being prosecuted, and we are actively engaged in some pretty critical things to make sure that, in particular, drugs aren't transported, and again, to protect the family. And without getting too in-depth in that, I will tell you this. I'm very proud of the work that our office does. We do phenomenal work. We've got great partners here that are local, and we're going to make sure that the streets are a little safer every day.
Just to add this on a little bit of a personal note, I love reading the press releases from the Department of Justice and Department of Homeland Security. It's one of my favorite things. Mike knows this. My audience knows this. And anytime I see your name as somebody who issued a statement on it, I get a bigger smile. So keep up the good work, my friend. It's so great to talk to you, and congratulations on the role again.
I will. I appreciate that. It's been too long. It won't be this long next time.
So glad to hear it. That's First Assistant U.S. Attorney for Eastern Washington, Pete Serrano. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's really awesome to have somebody we know in such an amazing position doing such great work. We got a whole lot more to discuss. As the show continues, you're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Welcome back to the Ari Hoffman Show. Just a reminder, download the KVI app and subscribe on whatever your preferred podcast platform is. That way you and your friends never miss a minute of the show. While you're there, remember to rate and share so that way other people can get in on the action as well. Before we get to the Seahawks news, I owe Cheryl and members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints an apology. I made a flippant comment about polygamy based on TV shows that are on TV, and I hate when TV shows get it wrong about Judaism and everything else. So, Cheryl, I 100% apologize. You were 100% right for calling me out on it. And I know that your religious beliefs are important to you, and I should not have done that. And I appreciate you reaching out. And it's very nice of you to say, I love the show and everything else, but you got this thing wrong. Occasionally we get it wrong around here. So, Cheryl, 100%, I apologize. You were correct, and anybody else who may have been thrown off by that remark, you are 100% right in calling me out. Now, here's who I'm going to call out, Bob Ferguson. Okay, Bob Ferguson today participated in a flag raising of the 12th man flag at the Capitol campus in Olympia for the Washington State Legislature. Now, for me, this immediately gets my hackles up. Why? I like when politicians are actual fans, not when they do it for the PR. Now, I don't know if Bob Ferguson is a Seahawks fan or not, but I know that Bruce Harrell, who was desperately trying to save his failing campaign by hopping on the Mariners bandwagon and by Mariners this and Mariners that and having parades through downtown, he jinxed it. He jinxed it, and that was that, and the thing was over. Now, our friend Matt Gilbert messaged me. He goes, you had to call out Bob Ferguson for raising the flag for being a jinx, didn't you? Because right after that happened, right after I posted about it, what happened? We get the report that Sam Darnold might be injured, the quarterback for the Seahawks. Now, he felt something in his oblique. Those are the muscles under your rib cage on the sides. Yes, I had to look all this up today so I would know what I was talking about.
Yeah, today is the day we all learned what an oblique was and where it is.
Exactly. So I can understand for a quarterback, if you're throwing a ball and it hurts in the side, that could be a problem. They say he's day-to-day right now. He said he expects to play on Saturday. So I know everybody's freaking out about this, but for right now, maybe it was a warning. Hey, Bob Ferguson, stay away from this stuff, maybe. I'm very superstitious when it comes to this. I really, really am.
My guess is that Sam Darnold is going to come out on Saturday looking like Matt Hasselbeck with all like those marshmallow pads around his... It's like, no, it's a throwback. It's an homage. I'm cosplaying Matt Hasselbeck. No, it's fine. It's fine.
You really have to remember that whole thing. But then there's something else here. Is it something to throw off the other team? Is it a he maybe, he won't be? Is it something? Because then I saw this article and I go, all right, guys, what's going on here? Seahawks fans will be measured for seismic activity during the playoff game. They've done this before. We know the 12s are allowed. They cause turnovers for the other teams all the time. And we know they've actually registered seismically. Now, Taylor Swift beat them with her concert, which is depressing for everybody. Guys, you have a chance to regain your glory. Is it they're trying to get it when he comes out of the tunnel? When they say his name? Is it something like where they want everybody to go bonkers crazy for touchdowns, for field goals, for when they please God? I don't. We all know what we want to happen, okay? Is that what we're going for here today? Now, me, I got a real problem with Bob Ferguson raising the flag. I really hope they don't do something like that at the game itself. So Mike had a good question to give to all of you. Who do you want to see raise the 12 flag at the game on Saturday? It's been celebrities. It's been past football players. I was there when Chris Pratt, Star-Lord himself, did it one time. Is there somebody in particular you want to see do it? Give us a call or a text at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Mike, if you had your choice, who would you want to see?
Well, I've already posted about this, and you could follow me on X at Mike on KVI. But my pick would be, we talked about this yesterday, ironically enough, I would pick Richard Sherman and Malcolm Smith together, because we talked about the tip against the sorry receiver Crabtree. But if Malcolm Smith isn't there to pull in the interception, then it's just an incomplete pass. That tip and interception changed the entire trajectory of that game. If it's just Richard Sherman deflecting it, yeah, it's cool, but it's you don't get him screaming at Aaron Andrews at the end of the game. So I think the two of them as a duo together would be pretty cool. Richard Sherman is long retired. I'm pretty sure Malcolm Smith is long retired as well. I've seen a lot of other names being thrown around. A Pete Carroll, to which I say, too soon. Mm-hmm. The guy just got fired. That doesn't mean he's retired.
Yeah, exactly.
So he may end up somewhere else too soon. A lot of folks have been saying Russell Wilson. Again, I say too soon.
Yep.
That guy is likely out of a job. Doesn't necessarily mean retired.
Right.
Now, the day he retires is the day I grab my number three jersey out of the closet and bring it out of retirement and start wearing it again, because it'll be fashionable because he's retired. Like, for example, later this week, I will be wearing my Richard Sherman jersey.
There you go.
Because it's fashionable again. But yeah, it really got me to think, and I would like to to see somebody from the current era, somebody from the last 10 years of our Super Bowl run to now, not a Matt Hasselbeck, not a Sean Alexander. No, you know, those folks can sit on the shelf. I don't want to see Steve Largent. I don't want to see Jim Zorn. I want to see somebody from the very recent past. Not John Schneider, because he's just sitting in the booth. Not Jody Allen. I don't know. I mean, like, I've made my pick, but I would love to hear what the Big Mike Militia has to say.
So I'll tell you what, guys. You want to weigh in on this, you give us a call or a text at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. And me, personally, I think we should send the segment off to the Seahawks and post it on social media to get more people to weigh in on it as well. Maybe catch the attention of the Seahawks, and maybe they hear what the fans want. We got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues, my friends. When we come back, it's more than a smoking gun at this point. We have actual proven instances of fraud here in Washington. So how do we get the word out so the Democrats are forced to actually deal with it? We'll tell you what's going on when we come back. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Welcome to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI, your home for the politically homeless, streaming live at KVI.com and the KVI app. If you want to be part of the most dangerous show on the airwaves, call or text the Warrior Injury Law Studio line at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Coming up this hour, the fraud in Washington is real. It's not just me saying it. It's the mainstream media. But before we get to any of that, Mike's question got a lot of reaction on the text line about who should be raising the 12th man flag at Saturday's game. Guys, I don't think Donald Trump or Pete Hegseth are options. Also, what's their connection to that? We're big fans of both here on the show, but guys, really with those?
Hey, man, Pete Hegseth likes to party just like the 12s. He's just going to be sitting there just soaked in booze like,
Let's go! Yeah, all right,
just throwing empty beer cans all over the place.
We will make
great.
An exception for Pete Hegseth then, I think. But anyway, some of the other ones here, a lot of people agree with Richard Sherman. A lot of people like that one. Here's a good one for you, Mike. What would you think if Marshawn Lynch came out for that?
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Okay, that was one that was thrown out.
Yeah, that's also representative of that era. There was I saw one post that really cracked me up. Somebody threw out Jerry Rice.
Yes.
Which I think would be hilarious because, lest we forget, Jerry Rice retired as a Seahawk wearing Steve Largent's number 80.
There you go.
Because Steve Largent is a good dude and said, yeah, you can wear it for the 1 year you're in Seattle.
Okay, so do that one.
I think that would be fun.
Okay, the other one which I saw was Cal Raleigh. All right, guys, football. Not the Mariners, okay? Now, maybe you feel that way about it. I don't know. For me, I wouldn't want to see somebody from the Knicks doing anything at the Mets game necessarily. That's a me thing. That's just me. Mike, what do you think about that one?
I'd kind of be fine with that because, I mean, again, we talked about this last week, I think it is, that this is the first time in history where both teams are top of their division at the same time.
Yeah.
So with the Heat coming off of the big dumper, I could see that too, and I think the fan response would be pretty cool. I wouldn't be specifically opposed to that.
You're going to be my barometer for all of this, because as the true fan over here watching you get to weigh in on all this. Mike is the ultimate judge when it comes to this kind of stuff. All right, this was the craziest one we got. All right, I'm not going to call you out by name, but who recommended Pramila Jayapal? That's a big hell no, okay? Absolutely not. We go to the Warrior Injury Law Studio line, take a call from Corey in Bellevue. Corey, what's going on?
Hey, Ari. Have you heard of a game called Pathways? It's a video game produced by the British government.
It's produced by the British government? What's it about, like promoting jihadism or something?
Close. It's designed to demonize the alt-right. And the main character they made it, the villain, is a young British woman wearing a pink dress and wearing a cross around her neck.
That's the villain.
That's the villain.
The villain is Church Lady from Saturday Night Live.
Except that she's a young, pretty Church Lady.
And that's the bad guy in this game?
Supposed to be.
All right, Corey, do me a favor. Corey, I want you to email me a link or something to this so I can see what you're talking about. ARIKVI.com, okay?
Will do.
All right, I want to check this out and see for myself what's going on. Send that on over to me, ARIKVI.com. Corey, appreciate the call. Appreciate you being part of the show. You want to be part of the show, give us a call or text at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Too many people in Seattle area news have said, we're not touching the fraud. We're not touching the fraud allegations. We don't want to look into these daycares. The one exception, aside from us, the Center Square, Jonathan Cho, Cam Higby, Brandy, people like that, has been Como News. Como News, really impressed with your coverage on this, guys. Latest report, Como News has learned of alleged serious oversight and accountability gaps at the Washington Department of Children, Youth, and Families over the last 4 years when it comes to payments to child care providers. Washington State Auditor Pat McCarthy told Como News the agency lacked access to provider-level data in the last four statewide audits. She said the data is needed to fully track where the money is going. Stop. Full stop right here. What have we heard from Lori Jenkins? What have we heard from everybody, from the Attorney General Nick Brown, from Turd Ferguson himself? Oh, there's so many safeguards in place. Nothing could ever happen. There's so many safeguards in place. There's no fraud. What have we heard from Katie Wilson? No fraud, no fraud, no fraud. Not even going to investigate it. There's so many safeguards in place. Isn't that what everybody has said? What this is saying, for those of you who don't speak auditor, they couldn't investigate whether there was fraud or not because they weren't given the data about payments that were made to providers, which means payments that were made to daycares. Full stop. How can you do an audit then? You're telling me for the last 4 years, you couldn't audit the data of where the money actually went. Right there is your smoking gun. No audit was done on that data. Why didn't DCYF provide the data? That's a very, very open, honest, fair question that should be answered. Would you bet after I'm done with the show today, questions going to the Attorney General's office, questions going to Bob Ferguson's office, questions going to Lori Jenkins's office, questions going to Katie Wilson's office, no audit was done? Mike, can you do me a favor? Can you check the website for the Washington State Auditor and see if we can get Pat McCarthy on the show? Odds are Bob Ferguson's going to lock this down, but I don't know if he can lock down an independent agency like that because I know we're on the blacklist for Bob Ferguson. Can you see if we can get Pat McCarthy on the show? I really want to, I would love to interview Pat McCarthy and find out what the story is here. She said the data is needed to fully track where the money is going. So how can you do an audit when you don't have this information? According to Como News, this comes as concerns about child care funding made headlines in Washington State. The state auditor's office is currently auditing the Child Care and Development Fund, a $770 million program managed by the Department of Children, Youth, and Families that made payments to 7,400 child care providers in Washington in the most recent fiscal year. Stop. Stop, stop, stop. The amount of information we're finding out here. Mike, do you recall off the top of your head how many audits they said they did of daycares last year? They said they did 1,400. They issued payments to 7,400. So you're telling me 6,000 daycares that received our taxpayer dollars were not audited. If you want the smoking gun, here it is. The audit was launched prior to the day daycare funding allegations that first surfaced in viral videos out of Minneapolis last month, as expected to be completed sometime in March. They're not even looking for this stuff. Do you know how audits normally work? It's not like they're auditing up until the last minute. Now they're trying to figure out how to put it into a binder, how to staple it, how to process it, how to do the pretty graphics for it. That's what's going on right now. They already did the audit, which means they didn't have the information they needed for this audit. Didn't have the information at all. And that's assuming Bob Ferguson or anybody else isn't going to mess with the audit. There are no audit conclusions yet, but at this stage of the audit, McCarthy said the auditors have not seen any evidence of fraud. Stop. How do you know? How do you know if you haven't seen the payments to providers? How can you know if there's fraud or not? In just the past 2 weeks, I have posted multiple facilities found by you guys, the best audience in the world. You guys have sent us some. By the way, there's a lot I don't post because we check it out and we find out there's no there there. You have no idea how many of these things we've gone through and how many I still have to go through. One today, place gutted, not even open for business according to Google Maps right now, not even at the right location. In fact, that location now says it has a siding company and a taxi company. Did you see Nick Shirley's latest video out of Minneapolis that came out yesterday? It didn't get the same views that the first one did. They go into this one place that is supposedly getting money from the state. And guess what? It's a money wiring service. A money wiring service is getting money from the state for elder care and for transportation? That's what's going on? Tell me you're fraudulent without telling me you're fraudulent. The people there were not happy to see Nick Shirley at all. What do they start doing? Accusing him of racism and bigotry and all that. Give me a break. McCarthy said the agency remains on high risk and points to oversight gaps in the prior four fiscal year's audits. She noted that the fiscal year 24 audit questioned more than $400 million in federal program costs incurred. Quote, they are probably the most risky of all the departments in state government. Here's something else, by the way. Department of Children, Youth, and Families. We have literally done stories on dead children, on fraud, on scandal. These guys are worse than the King County Regional Homeless Authority in terms of scandal. It's been scandal and scandal and scandal and scandal. Why do you think this agency does auditing the best when kids literally die on their watch? I don't understand it. I don't understand how the Democrats think they can lie and get away with it. Now, here's something you need to know. Como News still leans left, but they smell something wrong here, and they smell a hot story. And they know that if they're the ones to break this, it will go viral nationally, it'll help their ratings, you name it, and then it's their story, and they get to carry it. Where's Cairo 7? Where's King 5? Where's Fox 13? The only ones covering this in the TV world is Como. And they're not exactly in my little black book of the right-wing media conspiracy. But they also assigned a second reporter to it. Mike, this is how you know they're taking it seriously. Started off with Chris Daniels, right? I saw Michelle Esteban on the story now, too. Both of them are now on this story. How many more are going to be on the story? Put Jeremy Harris on it. We'll get the answers right away. I want Jeremy Harris right in the thick of it. He'll get to the bottom of what's going on. She added, it's one of the highest risk agencies in state government due to size, scope, and vulnerable population it serves. Part of the audit's schedule of federal award findings and question costs reads, by not complying with federal law requirements to maintain adequate supporting documentation for expenditures, the department made it impossible for our office to audit the federal dollars it used for payments to child care providers. Mike, we got to call in the feds. I got to email the White House as soon as the show is over today with that line alone. By not complying with federal law requirements to maintain it? Guys, this is it. This is the smoking gun right here. And kudos to Como News for finding it. Because we cannot test transactional level detail, we also cannot determine whether the issues we identified in prior audits had improved or worsened, including the department's lack of adequate internal controls and significant rate of non-compliance for payments to child care providers. Because the department did not comply with HHS requirements to allow for the tracing of grant expenditures to a payment level, we are requesting all $415,579,473 in federal program costs and incurred during the audit period. We will look at individual providers when we do those audits, but we will have to get that information from the agency to be able to do that body of work. And we haven't been able to get that information the last 4 years. When asked directly whether the state knows if child care dollars are flowing properly, McCarthy deferred to DCYF, saying, I believe DCYF can speak to that. When asked about the auditor's finding, DCYF responded to Como News saying that is correct. While we have been consistently in compliance with federal requirements, DCYF took feedback from prior audits to change how we track payments to comply with the state auditor's recommendations. Wait, hang on. How can you be in compliance if you're out of compliance? How can you be out of compliance when you're in compliance? My head's going to explode. So the auditor says you're not doing things right. You say you are doing things right. Give me a break. Give me a break. McCarthy said in the most recent audit, her staff noted a change. She said recent leadership changes could improve accountability. Could. With the new administration, and I'm talking about the new secretary at DSHS, DCYF Secretary Tana Sen, oh, give me a break, and the governor of the state of Washington and his efforts on accountability for state agencies, we're seeing a change. Do you believe any of that right there? If Bob Ferguson was truly interested in seeing a change, they wouldn't have shut down the allegations so quickly. They would have said, yeah, let's do an investigation. I want to be the most open and transparent government we possibly can be. You think Bob Ferguson, the guy who hid the information on the Climate Commitment Act and what it was going to do to your gas prices and your utility prices, you think that guy is open to transparency? Nah. No. Then McCarthy says this. I want to calm the public down. I want to calm Washingtonians down. What happened in Minnesota happened in Minnesota. So don't conflate what happened there with what's happening in Washington State. You literally just said it might be happening in Washington State, and you don't know because you don't have the number. Because you don't have the numbers. So how can you say it's not happening here? By the way, $400 million, that's a drop in the bucket. That's just something we know about. Let's assume for sake of argument that some of that money's fraudulent. And you're going to go, Ari, that's nothing compared to what's going on in Minnesota. Guys, the Minnesota fraud they're finding is not all in the daycare. It's in meals that supposedly went to kids. It's in elderly care. It's now in transportation. It's in so many different sectors. The fraud is rampant. Oh, and here's something else for the people who say we're attacking the Somali community. I was saving this for the show today. If you saw the post I put up on social media, and you can follow me, Ari Hoffman Official, on Facebook and Twitter, and on Facebook and Instagram, and The Hoffather over on X. The place I put up today, not in the Somalian community. It's Hispanic opera. It's not a Somali daycare. And remember, I've said time and time again, this is not something that's going to be restricted to the Somali community. If the holes are big enough to drive a truck through, any fraudster is going to take advantage of the situation. How many people are taking advantage of the situation? Because I don't think it's just the Somali community. We go to the Warrior Injury Law Studio line, take a call from Ray B in Federal Way. Ray, what's going on? Hello, Ray. Going once. Going twice, and bye, Ray. Appreciate it. You can try calling back. This one here from John in Auburn on the Warrior Injury Law text line. Ari, if there's child care fraud, there has to be elderly care fraud as well. I agree. I completely agree. Here's something else. This one here from the 253. Don't you think Turd Ferguson would want to do the right thing, being that he was the previous attorney general? Where's his sense of justice and making sure people are doing things lawfully in the state? Yeah, 253, I've got something to respond to that with. He was the previous attorney general. Do you think they were getting reports about this? Do you think a whistleblower is going to come forward and tell us they informed Bob Ferguson's office about all this? In fact, let me put the call out here right now. If there was a whistleblower, somebody who told the attorney general's office when Bob Ferguson was in charge, or Nick Brown, about what was going on and that you found allegations of fraud and that they didn't investigate them, I want you to be in touch with me, ARIKVI.com. That's ARIKVI.com. I think Dan Smith sums up how we all feel about this on the Warrior Injury Law text line. Survey says they are completely and utterly full of a poop emoji. Data not provided because of oopsie? Give me a break. Exactly right. This is the smoking gun. It's time to investigate DCYF. It's time to bring in the feds. It's no longer just, here's what Ari Hoff and Jonathan Cho are posting on social media. This is huge because the auditor is admitting that it is ripe for fraud. They weren't even able to audit the numbers the last 4 years. Does that mean Jay Inslee was complicit in this? Lots more to discuss as the show continues, my friend. The fraud isn't restricted to people in daycares. In fact, we found out that Katie Wilson just got fined for some election violations. We'll tell you what it was when we come back. But first, Todd Herman's Daily Thoughtcast right now on The Ari Hoffman Show. Welcome back to The Ari Hoffman Show. Just a reminder, download the KVI app and, of course, subscribe on whatever your preferred podcast platform is. While you're there, remember to rate and share so that way everybody else can find out how awesome the show is. Well, saw this from Katie Wilson. She put up this post yesterday. She shared an article from the South Seattle Emerald. The South Seattle Emerald makes the stranger look conservative, if you want to know anything about these outlets. So she said, I really appreciate this article in the South Seattle Emerald on what people want to see from my administration. I'd love to hear from you too. Reply or send a DM letting me know your own hopes and expectations for what our city can accomplish together. Hashtag, this is your city. Here we go with the hashtags. Number one, hashtags don't work on X. Number two, how can we message you if your DMs aren't open? That's right. Went to see how this works. For those of you who don't social the media, what happens is you have the ability to say, I want people messaging me, or I don't want people messaging. It's called open DMs or closed DMs. So when you say, reply or send me a DM, you can't send her a DM because they're not open. I don't think she really wants to hear from us. I think she's just doing that to virtual signal. I have an open door. It's closed. It's closed now, but it's open. Sometimes it's open. Occasionally it's open. We got an open door policy around here. Meanwhile, this story just made me giggle. Made me giggle for all the right reasons. Socialist Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson's campaign was fined by the Seattle Ethics and Elections Commission for failing to properly disclose more than $10,000 in campaign-related child care expenses, expenses which were paid for by her parents while her husband was, by his own admission, voluntarily unemployed. So hang on a second here. Somebody saw that Katie Wilson did the interview with KUOW where she said, yeah, my parents are helping us live because my husband is voluntarily unemployed right now and they're paying our child care expenses. And then they went to the PDC, to the Public Disclosure Commission, and said, wait a minute, where are all these expenses from Mr. and Mrs. Wilson? I don't see any child care expenses. So is that a campaign contribution that you're not disclosing, especially when you say the child care is for while she's running for office? According to a formal enforcement letter, the Wilson for Mayor campaign failed to timely report in-kind contributions from Wilson's parents, who covered child care expenses during the campaign. Because the contributions were not initially disclosed and exceeded Seattle's contribution limits, the commission imposed only a $250 civil penalty. All right, you're not allowed to give $10,000 to a campaign. That's the problem right here. You specifically said it was for the campaign. It's an in-kind donation. And $10,000 worth, that's very generous parents. That's very nice parents. That's lovely. They want to take care of their grandchild like that. It really, really is. But you have to disclose it. And guess what? I think the maximum allowed is what, like $1,000, $500 on a Seattle campaign these days? I have to double check. Definitely ain't $10,000. The campaign later amended its filings and refunded the portion of the child care payments that exceeded allowable limits. You mean 90% of it? While the fine itself was small, the ruling reinforces prior reporting about Wilson's reliance on family money while presenting herself as a struggling working class candidate. Also, here's something else. You refunded the money with what? The campaign's over. The campaign's over. So that means you used campaign money to refund the money. Or did Katie Wilson say, well, now I'm making $230,000 a year at minimum before the benefits and anything else so I could just pay my parents back for all of this? In October, KUOW reported that Wilson's parents, both professors in New York, were helping cover child care costs while her husband was voluntarily unemployed. Wilson simultaneously claimed she was running for mayor because she could barely afford to live in Seattle. Guess what? You don't have the right to live in Seattle if you can't afford the rent. Sure, I'd love to live on the water of Lake Washington. I can't afford that. Wilson, who dropped out of Oxford University just weeks before graduation, debt-free thanks to family funding, would not disclose at the time how much she was receiving from her parents and built a political persona centered on economic hardship despite a significant safety net. She told the outlet they sent me a check periodically to help with the child care expenses, acknowledging that she called the immense privilege of growing up in a secure academic household. Wilson told KUOW she cut herself off from her parents' money when she moved to Seattle in 2004, but later resumed taking parental checks to support her lifestyle and child care costs. Why didn't your husband get off his lazy behind and get a job? Oh, right. He's a communist. He's a socialist type who thinks everybody else should pay. He's probably thrilled. He's probably the one who's most thrilled. He doesn't have to get a job now because Katie Wilson's earning $230,000 a year. Despite branding herself as a voice for the downtrodden, her nonprofit, the Transit Riders Union, paid her nearly $73,000 in 2022, according to tax filings. Yet her city financial disclosure listed up to $100,000 in income for the same period. When asked by the outlet about the discrepancy, Wilson said it must be an error as mayor. Wilson now makes an excess of $230,000 a year. The Ethics Commission letter noted that personal expenses paid for by a third party because of a campaign are considered campaign contributions under Seattle law and must be disclosed accordingly. And she didn't do it. Unfortunately, it's just a $250 fine, not much more else. She's not the only one in trouble, by the way. Governor Bob Ferguson likely violated state laws by allowing his former top advisor, Mike Webb, to travel with him on a state plane to the Tri-Cities last summer, the state executive ethics board ruled on Friday. In a unanimous vote, the board concluded there was reasonable cause to believe Ferguson ran afoul of Washington's ethics laws by using state resources for the private benefit of a non-state employee. Ferguson provided a special privilege to Webb by allowing him to travel on the Washington State Patrol aircraft, wrote agency executive director Kate Reynolds in her recommendation to the board. Under the statute, the board will hold a hearing in which the governor can contest the charges either in person or through written testimony. The board will then decide whether the violation occurred and a penalty and other enforcement action is required. Remember, this was a guy who was ousted. This guy was ousted from the governor's office because of some scandals. This is according to the Washington State Standard that the Ethics Board received a complaint July 30th alleging that the governor violated provisions by letting Webb travel with him to the Tri-Cities. The June 26 trip, which included official business and a political fundraiser, was first reported by Axios. Webb, Ferguson's longtime friend and closest political confidant, served as the governor's chief strategy officer until resigning in March amid complaints that he fomented a hostile workplace. Yeah, that sounds about right. That's the guy who they got rid of right at the beginning because the Democrats want to say, we're in charge, not you. We're the captains now. That's what the Democrats were saying to Bob Ferguson. We're the captains now, not you. That's what they were pushing. Lots more to discuss as the show continues, my friends, when we come back. Katie Wilson's talking about transportation for the World Cup. Well, is the light rail actually up to it? I hear they got new seat cushions. Tell you all about it when we come back. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Welcome back to the Ari Hoffman Show. If you checked out the brand new KVI.com, got a whole bunch of articles up there that we haven't even done on the show yet, saving some of them for tomorrow. So if you want to see some of our content before we even do it live here on air, check out KVI.com. See articles from me, Mike, Zach, Phil, everything, lots of great stuff. And while you're there, remember to sign up to become a KVI insider. That way you get emails and updates on everything going on here. FIFA said Wednesday it received more than 500 million ticket requests for this year's World Cup. According to Como News, soccer's organizing body said outside the host United States, Mexico, and Canada, the most requests were made by fans residing in Germany, England, Brazil, Spain, Portugal, Argentina, and Colombia. FIFA is asking up to $8,680 per ticket. Hey, is Zoran Mamdani still going to make that affordable for everybody? Is that how that's going to go on? Back in December during the draw, Seattle World Cup Organizing Committee President Peter Tomozawa said he was thrilled and that there would be a celebration of nations in January to honor the teams officially coming to Seattle. Oh, we're gonna have a celebration of Iran, are we now? And Egypt. Yes. We'll bring out all the pride stuff for them. I hear they're really big on that for their specific game. After criticism, last month FIFA said it would offer $60 tickets for every game to the 48 national federations in the tournament, and the federations will decide how to distribute them to their fans who attended previous games. Ah, yes, for the common folk, we have 10 tickets here for you at $60 a pop. Yeah, okay. Now, what's funny to me is how are people going to get to the game? I think people who are paying $8,680 are not taking the light rail. Just a hunch. My guess is they can afford the gajillion dollars for parking they're going to charge down there in Soto. That's just a hunch that their limo drivers will figure it out. Just a guess. But I know Seattle. If I know Puget Sound, if I know Sound Transit, what they're going to do is they're going to say, hey, for everybody going to the World Cup, it's free. It's free today. Because they did that with the All-Star Game. And they do it with New Year's every year. And they did it with Taylor Swift. So, sure, let's do it. It's free. Just go ahead. The agency with massive financial problems, we're just going to make the light rail free. No problem. And now they got some more bills to pay, by the way. I saw this press release was sent out, and I really wanted to make fun of it. Because basically what they're saying is more money down the toilet. Sound Transit is replacing fabric seats on the trains with vinyl. After feedback from over 2,300 passengers. They started this like two summers ago when all the stabbings were going on and there was blood everywhere. And we said, well, of course, it makes it easier to clean. With all the problems you have in Seattle, whose dumb idea was it to put fabric seats on the light rail anyway? Remember the first problem we had before all the stabby McStabbersons? Was all the homeless people, they were getting bed bugs on the light rail. Now, I guess blood is really hard to get out of the fabric. Maybe meth residue is really hard to get out of the fabric. Fentanyl residue. It'll come off easier on the vinyl. On the vinyl. You know, you guys could just on plastic seats like they do on the New York City subways and other subways around the world and solve this problem. The change is expected to improve cleanliness as vinyl seats require only a disinfectant and a cloth for cleaning. Unlike the fabric seats that need steam cleaning or replacement altogether when heavily soiled. Soiled. Oh, isn't that a nice way to say some homeless guy soiled the light rail seats? Isn't that such a nice way to say it? They say the new seats are comfier, they're cleaner, they're easier to manage, and they're also going to be more durable, said a Sound Transit spokesperson. Yeah, how much did they cost? How much did they cost? This was an unexpected cost, but anybody who's got half a brain should have seen this one coming. The switch to vinyl cuts labor time per vehicle by 12.5%, according to Sound Transit. How much did they cost? Sindel Huerta, who rides the light rail weekly, told Como News, I think it's great that it'll save a lot of money because instead they can be used for other repairs and continuously improve the light rail system. Really, how much did it cost? In a fall 2023 survey, Sound Transit said vinyl seats earned a higher rating across every category with an average satisfaction score of 4.06 out of 5 compared to 3.08 for the cloth seats. I think the reason they're not getting a higher thing is because you don't know what's on that vinyl or what's on that cloth. Passengers will see more vinyl seats rolled out over the next few months. Some trains have new seats on the 2 line between Bellevue and Redmond. The move comes as Sound Transit faces a $30 billion budget construction shortfall due to increased inflation, interest rates, and tariffs. No, it's also because you guys took so long to do it. Things get more expensive over time. How many years are we behind schedule? How many decades are we behind schedule at this point? Because it sounds like we're pretty far behind. That's just me off the top of my head, but I know we're pretty far behind on all that. Here's another one right here. Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, according to Axios, is urging people to call the airport C for short instead of SeaTac. But according to Axios, who actually does that? Definitely not us. The mini debate over the airport nickname reflects a broader Seattle tension. As the region increasingly markets itself as a global destination, locals like us may not be fully on board. I'm reading from Axios here. The airport reignited the debate on social media this week, posting on X, "Still calling us SeaTac? Whoops, it's C." An accompanying video shows C labels around the airport while playing Meghan Trainor's Whoops in the background. Okay, I know Mike wants to weigh in on this for sure, but first I have a question. If you just say, "I'm going to C," I'm going to C what? I'm going to the C? I'm going where? But also, here's the other thing. It's in between Seattle and Tacoma. I understand that. I get that. Maybe the Tacoma part is throwing people off. Maybe it's the fact that there's a city named SeaTac, and that confuses people as well. Mike's got the headphones on. Something to add, my friend?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I have well litigated this on Twitter.com, along with not friend of the show, Chris Daniels. Apparently, like, we are, like, lockstep in, like, roasting the poor intern that keeps tweeting from the Fly SEA verified Twitter account. Because, like, to me, it's like, quit trying to make fetch happen.
Yes.
It's not going to happen. Also, I live in the city of SeaTac, and I'm not embarrassed about it, unlike the airport that it's named after.
Exactly.
Who is confused by what SeaTac is? You say, "You're going to the airport," or "I'm going to SeaTac." Oh, you mean this? People don't go to the city of SeaTac unless they live there or they're going to the airport, because there's nothing there.
Exactly. But once again, I just say, like I said before, I'm going to see. I'm going to see what? I'm going to see who? I'm going to see whatever. That's dumb.
Here's the other thing, and here's the other arm of legislation about this. You're saying it wrong. You're still saying it wrong.
SEA?
SEA. Like LAX or what's the Portland one? Like PDX or something
PDX,
like that?
Yeah, okay. PDX. Yeah.
So they're trying to do the same thing with that, and I don't add more syllables. It's more to say. It's a bigger mouthful.
There you go.
SeaTac, or SEA. Don't give me a third syllable that I don't want.
Very stupid. Very, very dumb. Like the Sound Transit seats. We go to the Warrior Injury Law Studio line, take a quick call from Frank in Seattle. Frank, what's up, man?
All right, how you doing? Hey, I just heard you talking about the Sound Transit replacing the cloth seat with vinyl.
Yeah.
One thing, vinyl gets brittle after time and breaks. They're going to have to replace that. Why don't they just go right to plastic?
I got a better question for you. Let's not do seats at all. Just make everybody stand. But you're right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You're right. Those things in New York, you could do anything to them and they hold up okay. But yeah, the next thing you're going to see is, well, the next trains, we're going to have plastic seats. You're 100% right, Frank. And we actually had somebody, we asked somebody from Sound Transit this question when they first announced this stupidity. Appreciate the call. Appreciate you being part of the show. Only good news to wrap up the show. Your good news headlines put a smile on your face heading into your evening commute. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Only good news to wrap up another amazing episode of the Ari Hoffman Show right here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. And I got this story here, which is local out of Kirkland, Washington, from our friends over at Como News. David Oakenfold thought he would spend just a year in the United States. Nearly three decades later, the Kirkland resident has built a life in Washington. He recently made a decision he calls life-changing by walking away from a corporate career to focus on family and community. He says, I grew up in a small town in northern England. It's 18 miles west of the city of Newcastle. Wait a second. Oh, that Newcastle. The real Newcastle, not the golf course. Okay.
Did you think they built a new castle?
I'm completely thrown off by that. Man, that was my New York mentality kicking in right there. In New York, it's, wait, Seattle. That's in Washington, D.C., right? Right? That's how it goes? That was just kicking in. Sorry. Old habits die hard.
Good God. Transplants got to go,
I know. We think the sun rises on the east side of Manhattan, sets on the west side of Manhattan. That's us. Sorry. He moved to the United States at about the age of 25 with the intention of visiting for 1 year. Instead, he stayed, became an American citizen, and made the Pacific Northwest his home. He said, I enjoyed the area and the geography. The more I stayed, I got to know people and make friends. I became really settled. He said he also likes Washington's climate. Well, yes, it is a little similar to that UK business. Okafor joked that he's on his third United States passport. He said, I've been an American citizen now for so long, but I think all those around me consider me English because I still talk funny. Once he knew he was staying, he said it was time to search for a career path. He said his first job was a Christmas tree salesman. From there, he built a long career in sales, spanning years in corporate America. The path began to shift, watching his wife leave her own corporate job 3 years ago to work for the city of Kirkland Parks Department. He said she loved it. Get outside, getting your hands dirty. It's pretty good. So, inspired by his wife's experience, he made his own leap last year. As of April of last year, I made the jump. He said, I want to leave this corporate game. I want to look for others, and I've been able to. He responded to a recruitment flyer and now works as a school bus driver for the Lake Washington School District. He said he spoke to a couple people who knew someone that had done it and enjoyed it. And I thought, well, you know, let's give it a whirl. He said he has no regrets doing his career change. He said, I enjoyed it. It's more rewarding. And now people say thank you to me daily, more than they did in my last job. Yes, in the corporate world, you don't get thanked a lot. Just saying, you know. He said it also gave him more time to invest in his neighborhood. He said, I always been very community oriented. I enjoy having neighbors around. I think get to know the neighbors is great for so many reasons. I think socializing with people is very healthy, and we can come out and speak to each other. He and his wife host a 4th of July block party each year, providing burgers and hot dogs while neighbors bring side dishes, giving them a chance to hang out together and have a good time. Looking back at this, Okenfeld said his decision to leave his now former corporate job was ultimately about improving his quality of life. When I did see my previous role, I was doing it, I believe, for myself and my family, and I came home grumpy daily. Think about yourself, think about your family. That's what's best for everyone. Not necessarily financial reasons, but yourself, your family, your neighbors, and what's good for you and others, and what would make you happy. My wife, she jokes that I'm so much happier ever since I took this job 5 years ago, because now I yell and scream on the radio and don't come home and get all mad about whatever I'm seeing in politics. Now I can actually do something about it. So, yes, I truly agree with that statement. Could have said it more. What's the saying? If you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life. That's kind of how I feel. Here's another story here right now. Coast Guard rescued a 68-year-old surfer who had been stranded for more than 24 hours. Coast Guard helicopter, according to the Coast Guard official press release, successfully carried out a nighttime rescue mission of a 68-year-old father who had been stranded off the coast of Puerto Rico for more than 24 hours. Christy Noam said the men and women of the U.S. Coast Guard are the best in the world at what they do. Despite rough seas, rocky surroundings, and low visibility in the dead of night, they were able to find the man, and America is blessed to have them keeping watch. Apparently, the man had some trouble out there because nobody knew where he was. Apparently just got carried away by the waves. They launched a Jayhawk helicopter from Coast Guard Air Station Boroquin on the island's northwestern course to conduct searches and shoreline offshore of the area, and were able to spot him. He was next to a surfboard, and you never know what sharks might find appetizing out there. So kudos to the U.S. Coast Guard for that amazing rescue that they did. Well, my friends, that's going to do it for us today. But fear not, we will be back tomorrow with more insane stories and more exciting guests and more good news stories. You've been listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.